everywhere. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. For the first time ever, Israel and the Palestine Liberation Organization are about to square off in debate at the UN Security Council. I'm Don Kladstrup, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Monday's meeting represents a historic first, since Israel has refused to negotiate with the PLO. Last December, Israel boycotted the council when the PLO was invited to participate. Israeli Ambassador Chaim Herzog, however, is expected to reaffirm his government's refusal to recognize the PLO or have any direct dealings with it. The Security Council debate will deal with unrest among Arab inhabitants of Israeli-occupied territory. Irish Prime Minister Liam Cosgrave is pleased with his trip to the United States. He says he's convinced many, or thinks he's convinced many Americans not to donate money to organizations which may channel the funds to the Irish Republican Army for weapons. But Cosgrave's assessment is disputed by an official for the IRA. Peter Martin reports from Belfast.
The vice president of Sinn Féin, the political wing of the IRA, refutes the Irish prime minister's claim. Mrs. Myra Drum says plenty of money is still coming from America and is being used to support families of prisoners. She hints that many of the guns are given to the IRA. The State Department has refused Mrs. Drum a visa to visit the United States, and on that score, Mrs. Drum has this to say.
The irony of Mr. Cosgrove, too, was that he was invited to celebrate the bicentenary of the Americans getting rid of the British, and that's just what I want to do at this moment, and I would love to meet Mr. Ford and congratulate his nation on getting rid of the British, because that's what I intend to do in my lifetime.
The Sinn Féin spokesman says the Irish Prime Minister's visit to the United States is designed to draw Irish votes for the president. Mrs. Drum says Cosgrave's visit will do President Ford more harm than good. Peter Martin for CBS News, Belfast.
We'll have more news after this.
You're listening to the beginning of something. An automobile commercial? No. As a matter of fact, it's the beginning of a new phase in a man's life. A man who looks different, moves differently, speaks differently, because he was born with cerebral palsy. The new phase in his life began when he started the engine of that car and drove off with his brand new operator's license in his pocket. His name is Joe Elko, man with cerebral palsy, college student, and now automobile driver. It upsets some people to see Joe get into that car. In fact, it upsets some people to see him at all. That's because they don't understand that although Joe may look different, inside he's no different than anyone else. He and United Cerebral Palsy are looking forward to the day when everyone will understand. In the meantime, Joe joins us in hoping you'll give generously to United Cerebral Palsy. They had a hand in helping him become what he is today, a man with a future.
Patricia Hearst is expected to be moved to Los Angeles this week for arraignment on more criminal charges, following her bank robbery conviction in San Francisco. Several jurors say Ms. Hearst hurt her case by refusing to answer certain questions put to her by prosecutor James Browning. Authorities are investigating the shooting death of professional skier Spider Savage. Savage was killed Sunday at his home in Aspen, Colorado. A woman is reportedly being questioned, but authorities will give no other details. The Medicaid program has received low marks in a survey of physicians by the American Medical Association. Don Perlman of station WBBM in Chicago reports.
The majority of those physicians responding to an American Medical Association survey on Medicaid, who called for an end to the Medicaid program, feel the system just is not paying realistic fees. AMA Executive Vice President Dr. James H. Sammons warns that some physicians will cut back if the reimbursements are not improved.
If the Medicaid program is going to insist on paying substandard fees for recipients of Medicaid, then many doctors, unfortunately, will in fact have to cut back on the number of Medicaid patients they see simply in order to pay their own cost of doing business.
Nearly 39% of those physicians responding to the AMA survey feel the Medicaid program should be dropped. Aside from low fees, many of those opposed to continuation of Medicaid complain there is just too much red tape involved in the reimbursements. This is Don Perlman for CBS News in Chicago.
An Alabama newspaper, the Montgomery Advertiser, said in a Sunday editorial that Democrat George Wallace should terminate his presidential campaign. The newspaper said Wallace no longer has a broad constituency for the race issue. Wallace, however, has vowed to remain in the campaign. So has Ronald Reagan, who lost to President Ford in every primary he's entered thus far. Reagan said Sunday he'll be pleased if he can manage a close second in Tuesday's North Carolina primary. Democrat Sergeant Shriver, who nearly withdrew from the Democratic presidential race after being trounced in Illinois last week, has called a news conference Monday to discuss his future. Former President Richard Nixon reportedly has completed a written account of his trip to China and has sent copies to President Ford and Secretary of State Kissinger. According to Time magazine, the report is, quote, hardly sensational. One of China's major oil fields reportedly has been rocked by a major explosion. The oil field, located at Taqing, produces more than 30% of China's petroleum. A Taiwan newspaper said the explosion was the biggest of its kind in history. Western officials are still trying to confirm the report. American business executive William Niehaus is still among the missing. He was kidnapped from his home in Caracas, Venezuela, 24 days ago. Sunday, police in Caracas said they'd received two calls, one saying Niehaus had been released, the other that he'd been executed. Don Kladstrup, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, KIXI. Good evening, 6 minutes past 10 o'clock. The weatherman calling for a little rain at times with periods of partial clearing through Tuesday. Lows tonight will be in the lower 40s and Monday night in the 30s. Highs will be near 50, winds southerly increasing to 15 to 25 miles an hour and becoming southwesterly 10 to 20 miles an hour and gusty late tonight and tomorrow. The chance of measurable rainfall 90% tonight and Monday and 80% by Monday night. Presently downtown, 50 degrees. The winds are out of the south at 6 miles an hour. At the airport, 47. The dew point is at 41. The relative humidity, 80%. The winds are calm at the airport. The barometric pressure falling, 29.95. Stay tuned now for CBS Radio Mystery Theater, which is next on KIXI.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, your landlord in this mansion of terror. And often there's no terror quite like those nameless terrors, those undercurrents we can't put our finger on. We know something's not quite right, but we don't know why. It nags at those dark corners of our mind. And such is the story we have for you now. All seems to be sweetness and light, but watch out for those dark corners, those things left unsaid. Jane and Mike Slater are young city dwellers spending their vacation in a quiet village called Granville. They thought it was a perfect spot to get away from it all. That's what they thought until they got there and tried to get away from it.
Mike, we should have turned left back there.
No. We're on the main road out of the village.
No, we're not. Look up there. There's another dead end.
Well, this doesn't add up, Jane. But we've been driving for a half hour trying to get out of this town. Every road is either a dead end or it takes us right back into the middle of the village.
But we came in on the main road. Where is it? Why can't we find it?
I think they don't want us to find it, Jane. We're trapped. Trapped in this town, and I don't know why. I don't know why, but they don't want us to get out.
Mystery drama, The Summer People, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Bob Juran and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
That Buick Century of yours is some car.
Thanks, we like it.
Yeah, and that tie you have on is really nice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I see you have the V6 engine. Look at all that room.
Uh-huh, isn't that something?
Uh-huh. I'll tell you something else that's something. Over 250,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks.
I bet they're really nice people. Do you think they'd like to come over for dinner?
All 250,000 of them?
Well, I suppose we'd have to borrow some folding chairs.
Yeah, wait a minute, your mother has a car.
It's nice.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is He whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
In another town, a summer place. They all add up to a change of scene, something everyone enjoys. And for Jane and Mike Slater, a summer in the country was not only desired, but almost necessary. Jane is a serious painter, and Mike's a young reporter with a novel burning in his brain. A couple ripe for spending their vacation away from it all and working on their respective art. So it was no wonder that when Mike picked up the paper one evening, he enthused.
Hey, Jane, listen to this.
What?
I think it's just what we've been looking for. For our vacation, I mean. Private rooms with bath in lovely private home. Quiet village on beautiful river. Complete peace and quiet. All meals, $50 a week per person.
$50 a week? What's the date on that paper, 1910?
It says 50, unless it's a misprint. Restricted to persons 23 years or younger.
Well, at least we qualify there.
Interested parties may phone for interview. 814 on the number.
Interview? Oh, sounds too snobbish.
It sounds intriguing to me.
Well, doesn't the ad say where it is?
No, nothing more. It's a perfect place to spend the summer and start the draft on my book.
It's okay with me if you want it. But phoning for an interview, isn't that strange?
Well, whoever put the ad in had his reasons. We won't know unless we call. Coming.
Mr. Slater?
Yes. You're Mrs. Williams.
That's right.
Oh, we've been expecting you.
Oh, from our chat on the phone, you sounded like the right kind of people.
Come in.
Thank you. Oh, what a cozy place.
Jane, it's Mrs. Williams.
That Dutch clock must be an heirloom.
It's my great-grandmother's.
Mrs. Williams, hello.
Mrs. Slater?
Sit down, please.
Thank you. You may think this a bit unusual that we request an interview.
Yeah, frankly, yes.
Well, you see, Mr. Slater, we in Granville are... Well, we do invite the summer people into our homes. There are no hotels, and we want to be careful. I mean, we want to be sure our summer people will fit in.
Your ad said only people under 23 years old. I think that's curious.
Well, so you should. But we're a young town, Mrs. Slater. Oh, Granville's been a village for 230 years, but the people are young. We stay young. And we want our summer visitors to be the same way. How old would you say I was, Mr. Slater?
Oh, no. Don't put me on the spot.
Oh, well, you want to guess, Mrs. Slater?
Well, since you asked, 40? 42?
Oh, I'm 79.
79? Oh, you can't be.
Well, that's the way it is in Granville. We've found the secret for keeping young. And we want our summer people to enjoy us just as much as we'll enjoy them.
It all sounds great to me.
We're quite self-supporting, but we do depend on the summer people. That's why we're willing to take the trouble to meet our prospective visitors personally. You're both in good health?
Oh, yes.
No recent illnesses or operations?
Would you like a blood sample?
Oh, come on, Jane.
Oh, this is ridiculous, Mike.
Mrs. Slater, I understand your reaction. Many people feel the same way, but if you're willing to cooperate with us, just these few questions, you won't regret it.
Just where is Granville, Mrs. Williams?
Oh, I'll give you the directions when we decide on your visit. What do you do, Mr. Slater?
Well, I'm a writer. I'm a news writer for the Post. Jane goes to art school. She's working on her master's.
Oh, you're both artists.
Oh, well, thanks for the compliment. The reason I was interested in your ad is I want to spend the summer blocking a book, and Jane wants to paint. It sounded like just the place.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. I can tell from meeting you both. So attractive, healthy, young. You'll fit in with Granville just perfectly.
If we choose to come.
Oh, but why wouldn't you?
You haven't told us enough about the town or your home. You've been concerned in making sure we'd fit in. Maybe we couldn't, from our point of view.
Oh, well, you do have a point, Mrs. Slater. But I'm afraid there's not much more to tell. Granville is a pleasant little village on the banks of the Saucony River upstate. I can offer you my second floor suite and the friendship and attention of all the residents of Granville.
We'll think it over.
I'll call you in a day or two, but I'm pretty certain we'll be there.
Very well, Mr. Slater, Mrs. Slater. It's been a pleasure meeting you, and I do hope you'll decide to come to Granville. You're just the kind of people we want.
Thank you.
Forgive my reservations, Mrs. Williams. We'll let you know.
I'll be waiting. Good night.
Good night. What's the big deal, Jane? It sounds perfect.
I don't know, Mike. There's something strange. The things she didn't or wouldn't say.
Yeah, well, it's all the more interesting. I'm dying to see the place. And we're okay on her list.
Oh, yes. She seemed eager to have us. I'm not against it, Mike. Let's sleep on it. I'll probably feel different in the morning.
You in there, Martha?
Come on in, Ned. How's Elizabeth?
Oh, she's okay. Dr. Teal said it was indigestion. The way she was carrying on, I thought it was a heart attack. How'd you make out with the summer people in the city? The Slaters?
They're perfect. Two of the best I'll ever have. I hope they decide to come.
Oh, they're not firmed up yet?
The wife was a little leery of my questions. They're going to call me.
Well, what about the basketball player?
Oh, he's all set. He didn't seem to mind at all the questions and restrictions. Said he couldn't wait to soak the basketball season out of his bones in peace and quiet.
I sure hope the Slaters come. I hate to start looking again.
I think they will. I impressed them with the age thing.
What'd they say?
Oh, like everyone else, they guessed around 40 and were amazed when I said 79.
Imagine what the summer people would say if they knew how old we really are.
I wouldn't believe it, so why tell them?
It can't be much further. We passed the lily pond 2 miles ago.
Oh, she said 2 miles past the lily pond. Look for wooden sign on right and take road to the left.
Well, It's been 2 miles, unless my odometer's wrong.
There! There it is, up ahead.
Oh, yeah. The arrow sign. Granville, 4 miles. But where's the road?
Well, it's supposed to be on the left.
Well, the sign points left, all right. Granville, 4 miles, but there's no road. Unless they mean those two ruts through the field over there.
This is crazy. But I guess we'll have to see where they go.
Okay. But talk about being off a beaten track. We're getting just what we bargained for.
Well, it looks as though it gets better up ahead.
Yeah, there's at least some paving up there. You know, if it weren't for that sign back on the highway, you could go right past this place and never even know it was here.
Well, this looks more like it. There is a town back in here.
Welcome to Granville, population 210. How can they be so accurate?
After meeting Mrs. Williams, I can believe anything. Why, Mike, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's clean, all right. Nice-looking houses, too.
It's almost unreal. It's so perfect.
Where do we head next?
Oh, continue along Thimble Street. That's what we're on. To the greenhouse on Maple Avenue.
Well, that can't be too far. Hey, look at that, Jane. That little church. There's something to paint.
My first subject. I wonder where the river is.
Well, we got plenty of time to find it.
Oh, Mike, this really is paradise. We made the right decision coming here.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I can't wait to... What's the matter?
But where do we go from here? I mean, we're at the end of Thimble Street, and so far there's been no Maple Avenue and no greenhouse.
We must have passed it. We were talking too much.
I've been watching every street. We didn't come to Maple Avenue.
We'll have to ask. I'll go in that little store.
Ask the fellow coming out.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, hello there.
Could you tell me how to get to Mrs. Williams?
Oh, sure. You're the summer people. She's expecting you.
Yeah, the direction said straight on Thimble to Maple Avenue.
Oh, you passed Maple 1 block back. Go back, left on Maple, by the greenhouse. Then about a quarter of a mile, you find Mrs. Williams on the right. Big yellow house with a green porch.
Oh, thanks so much.
I can't see how we missed Maple Avenue, though.
My name's Ned Broker. Glad to have you with us.
I'm Mike Slater. It's my wife, Jane.
Mm.
See you later. Thanks for the directions.
What a pleasant man.
It proves Mrs. Williams' point, I guess. Granville stays young.
Well, it's nice to know we're not staying with a bunch of old fogies.
Hey, they seem to be anything but that. Mrs. Williams and that guy back there, at least.
Oh, there's the greenhouse. Maple Avenue.
I don't see how we passed it before.
Well, go left like the man said. A quarter of a mile and we'll be at Mrs. Williams.
Hello, I've been waiting for you.
Here we are.
Well, I wasn't sure when you'd arrive.
No, we only made one bad turn. Not bad for newcomers.
Mr. Broker in the village told us how to get here.
Oh. Well, come on in and get settled. Your rooms are all ready, and I've got a pot of hot coffee and homemade apple pie all waiting.
Like I said, this is paradise.
Your rooms are on the second floor. I'm expecting another guest toward the end of the week. He'll have the third.
Your place is just charming, Mrs. Williams.
Yeah, it's exactly what we wanted.
Well, I'm sure you'll enjoy it here.
The whole town seems so fresh and clean. The people look so well.
We're very careful about how we live here. We grow all our own vegetables. Meat's imported. Oh, you love our food. Well, here you are. 2 rooms with connecting bath.
It's lovely.
Now, this is great.
Well, you get settled in and then come down to the kitchen. I want to introduce you to some real Granville cooking.
You in there, Martha?
Come on in, Ned.
Yeah, your folks settled in?
Just about.
Yeah, you were right about them. They seem like the right type to me.
I know how to pick them.
When's the next one arriving?
At the end of the week.
I told the Slaters I'd drop around and see them settled.
Oh, stay for pie and coffee, Ned. They'll be down in a couple of minutes.
I'll show them around town tomorrow. The girl's a painter?
That's what they said.
Well, she'll be looking for subjects. I'll know what to show her.
Yes. And what to keep her away from?
Charming people in Granville. Hospitable, friendly, attentive. But I can't help feeling... Oh, no, it's just my overly active imagination. There's nothing wrong, nothing sinister. How could there be with such lovely, youthful, healthy people? And yet, well, we'll return to Granville when I return with Act Two.
Here's Mother Teresa of Calcutta, whose sisters work with the sick, the dying, and the destitute of the world.
In India, we are taking care of nearly 46,000 lepers. We are now in 54 cities in India. We go to the people. All our work is going to the people.
Mother Teresa's sisters take care of the crippled and the unwanted. They have feeding centers and more, much of it due to the generosity of the American people.
I'm happy to have this opportunity to personally thank the people of the United States because we have been able to feed so many, to take care of so many. For us, Catholic Relief Service, the people of the United States have been the divine providence.
Catholic Relief Services continues to assist Mother Teresa and her workers. Support CRS along with the U.S. Catholic Conference Office of Migration and Refugees, as well as other distinguished works of the American bishops through the American Catholic Overseas Aid Appeal.
Hi, this is Lloyd Bridges with a favor to ask of you. Would you take a minute, just 60 seconds out of your busy day and listen? Really listen to the radio? I wouldn't intrude like this, except that I have an important message for you from the March of Dimes. Now, here it is. America's number one child health problem is birth defects. Not measles, not mumps, not the common cold, but birth defects. And the speed with which science finds the answers to that problem depends on you, not someone else, you. Your generosity to the March of Dimes will add to the fund that supports the massive research needed to find those answers. And if you won't help, can you be sure anyone will? And if no one helps, can any of us ever hope that future generations will see the day when every child will be born free from the threat of birth defects? Please, before you go back to business as usual, show your support for this vital work. Give generously to the March of Dimes.
They did say we'd return to Granville, where Jane and Mike Slater have decided to spend some time in late summer. He to start a book, and she to pursue her painting. But, frankly, that town gives me the willies. If you don't mind, I'll just stay here and meet you later. You go on ahead and join Jane and Mike in the kitchen of that friendly Mrs. Williams. You might even get a piece of that apple pie.
Another slice, Mr. Slater.
Oh, no thanks, Mrs. Williams. It's delicious, but two is my limit.
Oh, now, come on. A young fellow like you ought to be able to put away a whole pie. Oh,
he's being polite.
I'll take another one, Martha.
Help yourself.
I understand you paint, Mrs. Slater. There's plenty of subject matter here in Granville.
Well, that's what I was hoping. I'm dying to look around the village.
I'd be glad to show you around.
Well, I'll be glued to my typewriter most of the time. I'm glad Jane has a painting to keep her busy.
Well, you want to rest up today. Why don't we start out tomorrow?
Fine with me. From what I've seen already, I know we couldn't have found a lovelier place. I've never seen such immaculate farmland.
We grow everything we eat. Let's walk on down to the riverfront. The view there is something.
What's that low brown building over there? A factory?
No. No factories in Granville. That's our freezer. We freeze the harvest for the winter months. One of our few concessions to modern gadgets.
Oh, you have such an idyllic place here. I'm surprised you want outsiders at all.
Oh, living too closed up isn't good either. We like the right kind of summer people visiting us. Gives us perspective.
Mrs. Williams is so warm and friendly.
You'll find everyone in Granville's that way.
So, how was the grand tour?
Beautiful. It's a beautiful spot. Almost too perfect. Everything's laid out just so.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing really. It's just curious. I don't remember seeing any children. Not a single child.
Yeah, well, maybe they're all grown up. Everyone seems to be proud of how old they are here and how well they look.
But a whole village without any children?
Yeah, that's unusual, yeah. What's the difference?
Well, none, I guess. To us, anyway. I'm going to start on Mr. Broker's barn. It's so unique.
Mrs. Slater, lunch is ready.
Thank you. We'll be right down.
Oh, I don't really feel like any lunch. Hey, that breakfast she poured into us would last me a week.
Oh, the food's fantastic, but we can't hurt her feelings.
I know you're going to like it here, Mr. Egan.
Oh, I can see that already. Peace and quiet's all I want.
Well, you're on the third floor. A nice young couple has the second.
Oh,
Mr. Slater, hello. Oh,
hello.
This is Mr. Egan and Mr. Slater, our new resident.
Hi.
Mr. Egan's a professional basketball player.
Right, recovering from the season.
And Mr. Slater's a writer, his wife's a painter.
We're sort of on a work vacation.
Well, you won't see much of me. I'm just gonna sleep and eat.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. I'm afraid the Slaters aren't used to my big meals.
Yeah, the food's great. There's just so much of it.
Well, it's my duty to keep our summer people well fed.
You won't have any trouble with me, Miss Williams.
Well, now, come along. We'll get you settled.
See you later, Mr. Slater. Oh, hey, I didn't mean that the way it sounds.
Call me Mike.
Okay, I'm Tim.
See you later.
The basketball player all settled in?
Yes.
Hey. Guess I'd better get out to the main road and take the sign down. We won't be expecting any more for a while.
Not for a while.
Well, how's the painting coming along, Jane?
Oh, I don't know, Tim. I started out with a bang, but lately I haven't been able to concentrate.
Can I look?
Sure. Oh, that's 2 weeks of work.
Mm-hmm. Looks good to me.
Oh, it's all there. The barn and the sky and the field. But it's just there. There's no spark. I don't know. I've been so lazy lately. I can't get up steam.
I'm the same way and enjoying every minute.
It must be Mrs. Williams cooking and this country air.
Oh, hi there. I didn't know you were back. You finished for the day?
Yeah, I can't work up any enthusiasm.
Yeah, you know, that's my problem. Talk about writer's block. I've been staring at that typewriter for a week.
I'm beginning to wonder if we came to the right place after all. We wanted peace and quiet to work, but between the food and the climate, we're growing fat and lazy.
Well, it suits me fine, but I'm going to have to take off 10 pounds before the new season starts.
How did you happen to find this place, Tim?
Just an ad in the paper.
Yeah, same as we did.
Did Mrs. Williams give you a personal interview?
Sort of. She came to my apartment, took one look at me, and gave me directions to Granville.
Didn't you think it was funny they made such a fuss about meeting us?
Well, yeah, I did, but she was so nice, and this Granville sounded so great, I didn't care. I just wanted to get away. You know, I didn't even tell my fiancé where I was going.
Have you looked around the town, Tim?
No, I've done what I said I'd do. Just sit, eat, and sleep.
Hey, Jane, there's no need to bring that up.
What's that?
Well, Jane thinks that there's something unusual here.
Tim, there's not a single pet in town. Everyone in Granville is a youthful senior citizen.
Oh, well, there's nothing odd about that. I was in Florida one time, and there were these old
people. This isn't an old people's retirement community. It's a plastic village. Everyone's very charming and gracious, like mannequins.
Well, I still don't see anything wrong in that.
It just bothers me. Why are they so anxious to have us come for the summer? They say they need their summer folk. For what?
Well, the money. I mean, they don't have any industry here. They just need cash for some things.
The money? $50 a week for the two of us? What are you paying, Tim?
$25.
It's not the money, but this lethargy. We all have it. I think they're draining our strength in some way.
Oh, come on. Don't make such a big deal out of nothing.
I'll see you two at supper, okay?
I want some homemade ice cream. It's already in the kitchen.
Thanks, no.
No thanks, Mrs. Williams.
Yeah, I was just going to take a snooze. Maybe later, Miss Williams.
Oh, well, whatever you wish is there when you want it.
She was listening. She heard what we said.
Oh, I doubt it, Jane. Look, if she thought we suspected her of something, she would have said so.
Not necessarily. Not if there was a good reason for us not to know.
What's up, Martha?
I don't think the Slaters will be staying the whole summer. Mrs. Slater's particularly nervous.
What you going to do?
I've advertised their rooms, Mr. Egan's too. He was due to leave the end of the month anyway.
Well, okay, if you're sure you can get replacements. 3 summer people aren't enough.
I know, but I won't have trouble filling the rooms.
Hello there.
Hi, Mr. Egan. Out for a stroll?
Well, I just like to watch other people work. Getting ready for the barbecue tomorrow?
Yep. Real great time, our July barbecue. It's a lot of work, but we think it's worth it.
Well, I'm glad I'm going to be around for it.
Say, Mr. Egan, I wonder if you could help me later on?
Sure.
A couple of chores that could use your muscle power.
Oh, anytime. Tell me where and when.
Well, I'll come by for you at Mrs. Williams'. This evening.
Well, don't make it too late, though. I've been hitting the sack earlier and earlier. I never slept so good in my life.
Oh, we'll all be bedding down early tonight. With the barbecue and dance, nobody will be going to bed tomorrow night. More corn, Mrs. Slater?
Oh, yes, maybe just one more.
Another round of steaks are on the grill, too.
What a shame Tim had to miss this.
Yes, too bad.
I'm so surprised he didn't say anything to us before he left.
Well, when Mr. Egan got the phone call last night, he said it was an emergency at home. He just grabbed his things and ran. He seemed very upset.
That's so curious, because I thought...
What, Jane?
Martha, want to give me a hand with these?
Oh, be right there. Help yourself to salad, Mr. Slater.
What were you going to say?
I'm wondering who could have called him. I remember him saying he didn't even tell his fiance where he was going.
May I have the honor of a dance, Mrs. Slater?
Thank you. No, please, I couldn't.
Go on, Jane.
I'm too full. Maybe later.
Well, Martha, it looks like us old folks have to show the youngsters how to have fun, huh? My arm, Mrs. Williams.
Delighted, Mr. Broker. Excuse us.
Just one dance and I'll be back for you, Mrs. Slater.
Hey, Jane, we might as well pack up and go back to town tomorrow if you're going to act like this.
I'm sorry, Mike.
There's no reason for these suspicions. Do you want to leave?
No. You have your work to do.
Well, I'm not getting anything done. I mean, maybe we'd better pack it in.
No. I won't say anything more about it, Mike. I'll get back to my painting tomorrow and try to enjoy the rest of the summer. You ought to be back writing instead of watching me paint.
I don't see why you're unhappy with this painting, Jane. You know, it's Mr. Broker's barn to a T.
I have a new idea for it. This morning I hit on what's wrong.
What?
Well, all you see is the outside. You don't feel a whole barn in the picture. It's because I've never bothered to look inside.
What do you mean?
Come on. Mr. Broker won't mind. Even though I'm not going to show the interior, if I know in my mind what it looks like, I'll give the whole painting more character.
That makes sense. It's the first barn I've ever seen with no dust on the windows. Door's not locked.
Not surprising. Mrs. Williams never locks her house. I don't think any of them do.
Yeah, well, let's go get that mood you're after. It's as clean as a you-know-what.
Yes.
What's the matter?
It's too clean. Who ever saw a barn without any hay or harnesses or just plain junk?
Yeah, there's a loft. Maybe there's some junk up here.
Oh, hey, be careful climbing that ladder.
It's steady.
You see anything?
Sorry. No plain junk, but... Hey, wait a minute.
What is it?
I'll be darned.
For heaven's sake.
Look at this. It's the sign. It's the sign we saw out on the main road.
Oh, maybe it's one like it, an old one.
No. It's the same sign. It's the one that pointed to the two ruts through the field.
Why would Mr. Broker have it in here?
Hey, without this sign out there, you could go right past that field. Go right past Granville and never know it was here.
Is that what they want?
Maybe your suspicions weren't so wrong, Jane.
Oh, Mike. What does it mean?
I want to ask some questions. Look, don't let on we found this, huh? Come on, let's get out of here fast before Broker gets back.
Let's leave this town right away.
Yeah, I only hope we can.
Tim Egan did.
Oh, did he? You were suspicious about that sudden departure. Now I'm beginning to wonder. He departed, but I'd like to know where.
How are things in Granville? You'll forgive me for not going along with you, but maybe now you know why. I much prefer to stay here and let you tell me what's going on there. I'm dying to know what happens next to our friends Mike and Jane Slater. You'll be able to fill me in after you return to Granville shortly in Act 3.
For more than 2 years now, people have been trying to get you to slow down to 55 miles an hour, down to the speed limit. They've told you that slowing down will save millions of gallons of gasoline. They've told you that slowing down saves thousands of lives, and they've got the figures to prove it. I think those are pretty good reasons. Some of you obviously do, too, because some of you have slowed down. But an awful lot of people, for one reason or another, haven't. They seem to think the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit is something they can take or leave. It isn't. It's a law, with tickets and fines and all the rest, just like any other law. And I should know. I'm a police officer. From where I sit, there's just no way around it. The 55-mile-an-hour speed limit can do a lot of positive things, and it's my job to make sure it gets a chance to work. Not just because it's a good idea, but because it's the law.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
Who's gonna help a child to walk? Make someone's dreams come true? Who's gonna help someone to talk? Easter seals and you. We'll be working all year round. Someone to count on too. And who will never let them down? Easter seals and you.
Easter seals helps crippled children and adults push back the limitations of their handicaps. Helps them to enjoy the good life. Miracles still happen when you make them.
Easter seals and you.
Give to Easter Seals.
Easter Seals and you.
Give to Easter Seals.
Easter Seals.
For crippled children and adults.
Easter Seals.
Feel you want to return to the odd little village? Well, if you insist. And don't say I didn't warn you. Mike and Jane Slater have finally awakened to the fact that Granville isn't all it's cracked up to be. Jane felt it first. And now Mike, having found that Granville can shut itself off from the world with them in it, decides Jane wasn't so wrong after all. The thing that makes me curious, and perhaps you too, is why? Why do these sweet townsfolk of Granville appear to be increasingly sinister? I hope you'll be able to tell me when you get back. That is, if you get back.
What kind of danger are we in?
I don't know. It's so damn maddening, I don't know.
Do you think it's even safe to go back into the house?
Well, we've got to get our things in the car. We'll tell Mrs. Williams that we've got to leave sooner than we thought.
Won't she be suspicious after Tim Egan's disappearance?
Hey, I'd like to find out if that guy really went home.
Oh, forget about him. Let's get ourselves home.
There's Ned Broker just leaving Mrs. Williams.
He probably knows we've been to his barn.
Don't let on about anything.
Well, good morning, you two. Rested up from last night?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, still stuffed, though.
Been putting the finishing touches on that painting, Mrs. Slater?
Yes, it's finished, as a matter of fact, and it's a present for you.
Oh, now, Mrs. Slater.
Oh, please, take it.
Well, thank you. That's real special. Put it over my mantle. Sorry to run off. Got the chores at home.
That's okay. See you around.
Bye now.
I don't know why I did that.
You didn't like it anyway.
Listen, the phone. Maybe we can sneak up the stairs while she's on the phone.
Hello? Who? Oh, Slater. Oh, yes.
It's for us.
Shh. No, they never arrived. I was expecting them the 1st of July. That's right. They were taking the second floor for the summer. I called their apartment in the city twice and didn't get an answer. I assumed they changed their plans.
Mike.
I wish they'd let me know. I could have gotten other tenants. And you haven't heard from them since they left the city? Oh, dear. Well, I wish there was something I could tell you. Yes, perhaps you'd better. All right, goodbye.
Mike!
Shh! She's gone into the kitchen.
Mike, this is unbelievable.
We are in danger. I don't know what or why. We have to get out of here. Don't let on we heard that conversation. Don't do anything to make them think we're suspicious. We've got to give ourselves time to make an escape.
Why would she say we weren't here? That we'd never arrived?
So they can do whatever they intend to do with us. That call had to be from Stu Hendry. He's the only one I told where we'd be.
He must be frantic.
Well, I've got to call him.
How can you?
There's got to be a public phone in the village.
Mr. Slater, lunch is ready.
I couldn't eat a thing.
Try when I slip into town and call Stu. Mrs. Williams, could I use your phone?
Well, of course.
I couldn't find a public phone in town.
Oh, so that's where you were when I had lunch ready. You didn't have to go all that way. All you had to do was ask. My phone's right here in the parlor.
I only want to call my publisher about my book. I'll reverse the charges.
All right, just help yourself. I'm going to a friend's for the afternoon. It's our backgammon day. And help yourself to the refrigerator. Mrs. Slater hardly touched a thing for lunch.
Henry here.
Stu, it's Mike.
Mike, where the hell are you?
In Granville. Listen.
What? Why, I just phoned there and some dame told me you never arrived.
I know. Listen, Stu, we're in danger here.
Danger? What?
I don't know what it is, but Stu, listen. This is important. Jane and I are leaving here in a couple of minutes. We'll call you as soon as we're out. If you don't hear from us in 1 hour, I want you to get all the police you can and get up here to Granville.
Well, how do I find the place?
Take Route 47 north to Minerville, then Route 11 west 2 miles and look... No. The sign won't be there. Look. You look for two ruts across a... Stu. Do you hear me? Stu. Damn, they know. Jane!
What is it?
Is everything packed?
Yes, I just finished.
We're leaving now. Mrs. Williams went to her friend's. Hurry.
What did Stu say?
We were cut off, and it wasn't any accident. Grab those cases. I'll take the trunk and the typewriter.
Oh, I'll be so glad to get out of here. I'll kiss those hot city sidewalks.
But this is our only chance. Someone was listening in on my talk with Stu. I just hope we can make it in time.
I'll get the door.
Wait. Anybody out there?
Not a soul.
Okay. Let's go.
Do you think they're watching us?
I don't know. Just keep walking and we'll load the car. There's nothing they can do to stop us here. They don't seem to have any guns.
None that you know of.
All right, help me with the trunk. That's it. Now the case. Okay. Get in.
Stu, still not a soul on the street.
So much the better.
Where are you going? You should have turned right.
No, we've got to get back to Thimble Street. We came in through Thimble to Maple. It's left on Thimble.
Oh, I guess that's right.
Yeah, the green house, remember?
Yes, there it is.
Only, what's that sign say?
Well, that was Broad Street.
Well, there wasn't any Broad Street when we came in.
Well, it's probably the next one. Keep going.
I can't. We're coming to a dead end.
We'll have to go back. Try turning right on Broad Street.
Oh, gee, this is getting crazy.
We turned left coming in. Turn right here.
Okay.
Well, this looks right. This takes us right out onto the main road. Oh, thank God. We should have turned left back there.
No. We're still on the main road out of the village.
No, we're not. Look up there. It's another dead end.
It can't be.
We've got to go back and take the road to the left.
Oh, this doesn't add up, Jane. Look, we've been driving for a half hour trying to get out of this town. Every road's either a dead end or it takes us right back into the middle of the village.
But we came in on the main road. Where is it? Why can't we find it?
They don't want us to find it, Jane. We're trapped. We're trapped in this town, and I don't know why. I don't know why, but they don't want us to get out.
We're back at Mrs. Williams.
Oh, all roads lead to Mrs. Williams. I don't know what to do anymore. Driving around is useless. I'm going to confront that woman. I'm going to find out what's going on.
Then we'll never get out of here.
Again, I have to say, I don't know. Come on. We're going to wait for Mrs. Williams to get back from her backgammon.
Mr. Slater, Mrs. Slater, something wrong?
Very, Mrs. Williams. Very wrong.
I don't understand. I saw all your things in your car as I came in.
We're leaving, Mrs. Williams. That is, we're trying to leave.
But why?
Well, you ought to know. You listened in on my phone conversation. You know now that we're on to you, all you lovely people in Granville.
On to us?
Oh, come on, Mrs. Williams. We're prisoners here. We know it. You know it. Why? That's what I want to know. Why?
Mr. Slater, if you want to leave, I think you'd better. I've never had guests act as strangely as you.
All right. What happened to Tim Egan? And why was the road marker hidden in Broker's barn? And why can't we find our way out? Every street's changed since we came in. For a half an hour, we drove in circles trying to find the road we came in on.
Mr. Slater, if you want to leave Granville, I'll have Ned show you the right way. It's no secret. Ned will be over in 2 minutes. Have your coffee. You've nothing to worry about, Mr. Slater.
Mrs. Williams, I guess we've seemed awfully strange, but things have happened here that we don't understand.
Oh, I know. Mr. Slater enumerated them. I'll have some more coffee.
All right. I guess I'm feeling better.
Mrs. Williams, we've enjoyed your hospitality. Maybe we're making a big deal out of nothing.
Of course you are. I can't see a thing we've done to make you think we want to harm you.
Well, I was trying to get out of town, and the road marker, like you were trying to hide us.
Well, maybe our imagination's got the best of us.
Yeah, maybe we ought to stay the rest of the summer, Jane. We've chased away the boogeyman.
No, I'm afraid it's time for you to leave. I'm sorry, too. I don't think you've got enough of my good home cooking.
Martha, you in there?
Come on in, Ned. I think they're about ready.
Mm-hmm.
They each had 2 cups.
I do hope you got some replacements coming.
A new couple tomorrow, 2 more on the weekend.
Good. Mr. Slater? Mrs. Slater?
Mm-hmm. When do we go home?
I'd better get them over to the freezer.
Oh, dear, I wish I'd had more time to fatten them up a bit.
Oh, you did fine, Martha.
Same as always.
Oh, I hope so. It's my job.
Well, I'll get them packed down, and then I'd better get that sign out again. Don't want to miss the folks tomorrow.
Be right there. Oh, hello.
Hello. Mrs. Williams, we're the Reynolds.
Oh, well, of course. I've been expecting you all morning. You didn't have any trouble finding the place?
Oh, no.
Oh, well, come on in. Rooms are all ready. You're on the second floor. Lovely couple just moved out.
I know now why you're so particular about your guests. This home is so beautiful.
Well, yes, we have to be.
Oh, my, the whole town is just a picture.
I just know we're going to enjoy it here.
And we're going to enjoy you.
We stopped at that little store in town to ask directions, and everyone seems so happy and healthy. It's so, so youthful.
Like you. We just can't believe you're 79.
Oh, well, we keep young in Granville. The secret's in our diet. We're very particular about what we eat. It's all in the diet.
Oh, your health food fattest.
Well, we do raise everything we eat. I hope you brought good appetites with you. It's my job to fatten up my summer people.
I warned you not to go back there, but you went anyway. You can spare me the details. I know what went on there in Granville. Suffice it to say, a trip to Granville is a one-way trip. But I'm glad you got back safely. Relax and order anything on the menu. I'll be back shortly.
I don't believe it. Tell me again.
Okay. The Internal Revenue Service has over 80 free publications to help answer all those taxing questions you have on your mind.
Uh-huh. What if I'm a flagpole sitter whose pole was attacked by termites?
All right. Flagpole, termites. It's publications 547 and 584.
An ant left me an elephant under 12 years of age for me to care for.
Mm-hmm. Adolescent elephant, 501.
People throw money when my 98-year-old uncle lifts weights at the beach. Is that income?
Mm-hmm. 554 and 525.
Oh. Does the IRS have an answer for everything?
Well, just about. There are over 80 free publications for the asking at any IRS district office. You can write for them by using the order blank on your 1040 tax package. Yep, over 80 tax answering publications. Free from the IRS.
I do hope you won't make the mistake of ever returning to Granville again. You're lucky to have gotten out with your skin. I can tell you one thing. You wouldn't catch me dead in the place. But you will find me in this same place tomorrow with another menu of suspense, mystery, and horror. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Jennifer Harmon, Grace Matthews, Leon Janney, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I find any man on the trail drinking, he gets paid off right there and turned loose with his own horse and one other. We got 8 spots control the herd. The points will be Duveen and Dago Red. They got the most experience. The other 6 are the 2 flanks, points, and drags, who are going to eat a lot of dust. So they'll rotate, morning and afternoon, clockwise. Now, keep your guns in your belts, even in stampedes. And a hat or a bandana waved is just as effective. And remember one thing. It's a long trip. You got to depend on the man next to you, or behind you, or ahead. Maybe you got to swallow something your gut don't want to take here and there. It's a long trail, so just face on up to it.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
the two of us, strangers in many ways. Let's take a lifetime to say I knew you well, for only time would tell us so.
Music of the Carpenters on KIXI AM and FM in Seattle, For All We Know. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Beirut is a battleground again as Lebanon civil war is raging anew. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Artillery and mortars could be heard throughout Beirut early Monday as fighting between left and right-wing gunmen erupted in parts of the city previously spared by the civil war, which has claimed more than 10,000 lives. General Aziz al-Adab, leading the coup, which was launched 11 days ago, last night announced a 14-man command council had been set up to conduct military operations if President Süleyman Frangieh refuses to resign. That announcement followed a key Muslim victory in Beirut, detailed by CBS News reporter Doug Tunnell.
Brilliant flashes of red and white lit the otherwise darkened skyline of central Beirut. The city's warring gunmen unleashed heavy artillery against their foes. The mostly Muslim left wing pushed through the old front to control a sizable piece of their rival's territory in Beirut. They seized the 26-story Holiday Inn, one of the right wing and Christian gunmen's most awesome symbols of firepower. Then the leftists moved into the right wing's 4th military district, closer to the strategic port area. The leftist-controlled radio station says the gunmen are pushing on the front around the right-wing Falangist Party headquarters downtown. But in the midst of the advance, the city thundered to the blast of field guns, silencing for the moment at least the rattle of machine guns along the new front in the heart of Lebanon's capital. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Beirut.
A historic first is on tap at the UN Security Council on Monday, with Israel and the Palestine Liberation Organization facing each other across the debating table. Muslim Libya and Pakistan asked for the council meeting to press a charge that Israel is creating an increasingly explosive situation in East Jerusalem and other towns of the occupied West Bank of Jordan. Arab and other Muslim countries want the UN to find Israel guilty of measures of repression against West Bank Arabs and desecrating Muslim holy places in Jerusalem. More CBS News in a moment.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. God appeared to Solomon in a dream and asked, "What would you like me to give you?" Solomon answered, "I am young and unskilled in leadership. Would you give me the ability to discern good from evil?" So pleased was God with Solomon's simple request that he gave him much more than he asked for. As well as a wise and shrewd heart, God gave him riches, glory, and long life. He required only that Solomon keep his laws and commandments. Solomon awoke and recognized the truth of his dream and became a king known for his righteous judgment. For more, write for your free booklet on dreams to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
The district attorney of Pitkin County, Colorado, says French-born singer-actress Claudine Longet is being questioned in connection with the Sunday night shooting death of former world professional skiing champion Vladimir Spida Savage. The 31-year-old Savage was shot at his home in Starwood, an Aspen subdivision. Ms. Longet, the former wife of vocalist Andy Williams, reportedly has lived in the Savage home for some time. One early report indicated Savage was shot while instructing Ms. Longet in the use of a pistol. Attorneys for Patricia Hearst have set a Monday meeting with federal Judge Oliver Carter in an effort to stave off her transfer this week from San Francisco to Los Angeles for a second trial. U.S. Attorney James Browning, after winning the government's bank robbery case against the newspaper heiress, had no objection to allowing local legal moves to proceed.
I conferred with Judge Carter, and the federal government will make the defendant available to Los Angeles just as soon as the necessary background information can be secured from her for purposes of the probation report to the court. Yes, that will be before her sentencing. My guess is that probably that can be accomplished early this week, this coming week, and that she will be handed over to the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office probably sometime around the middle of this week.
Democratic presidential contender Sergeant Shriver has scheduled a Monday news conference in Washington to discuss the future of his candidacy. It's widely expected he'll pull out of the race. He nearly did so after finishing a distant third in the Illinois primary. 11th hour campaigning before the North Carolina primary will find only Ronald Reagan and George Wallace on the stump. Reagan said Sunday he's fighting uphill against President Ford in North Carolina's primary. He said he'll be satisfied with a close second, noting, our strength lies somewhere down the road. Carter spent Sunday afternoon politicking at the Atlanta 500 stock car race, promising to invite racing car drivers to the White House if elected president. A poll published in London says Foreign Secretary James Callaghan is the favorite of British voters to succeed retiring Prime Minister Harold Wilson. Other surveys have shown that among Labour leaders of Parliament who will elect the new Prime Minister, Michael Foot, the left-wing Secretary for Employment, has taken an early lead. The U.S. Geological Survey predicts that Mauna Loa volcano on the island of Hawaii will erupt sometime before July 1978, pouring out a river of lava that could destroy parts of the city of Hilo. The survey expresses fear that large amounts of lava could run down natural drainage channels 30 miles to the city of 26,000 people. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, KIXI. Good evening, 6 minutes past 11 o'clock.
Fresh is the sound of KIXI, complimenting your day with bright and beautiful music.